Matthew chapter 14. And I preached on the crossroads this morning. And I said you'd be facing another one this afternoon, didn't I? And I said, you know, the Bible talks about if a man love God, the same is known of him. And you begin to see things and you think, okay, all right, why is it that in my heart, I want to be here, I enjoy being here, how come others do not? You ever wonder? And you go through that. It's different. We're going to talk a little bit about something here tonight in Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings upon the message tonight. Thank you for each and every one's come. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard tonight, God. You are a good and gracious God. You're good all the time, Father, and we just need to avail ourselves of all that goodness and blessing that you offer each and every one of us. And Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your provision, your protection. God, just the way you answer our prayers. We thank you tonight that we can rejoice in our brother being in heaven. Father, no more pain, no more suffering, no more worries, no more fears. For he's with his most blessed Savior and will be there for all eternity. Lord, help us to grab a hold of that by faith and to hide it in our hearts. For each and every one of us has an appointed time. And Lord, and except for the rapture coming, we will meet that day when it comes our time. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be ready. And until then, help us to continue to serve in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, we live in a very sin-sick world. It's twisted. It's a time and an age that mankind seems to have a way to justify everything that they do, every kind of sinful behavior. You have adultery is acceptable today if it happens to be an NBA star or some football player or some movie star. Well, then it's okay. They just happen to be in love with somebody else's spouse, you know. You've got fornication as being a normal activity. In fact, they started introducing sex education to your children in high school, well, grade school. Well, now in kindergarten, they're trying to confuse them about their genders. You talk about a twisted, sin-sick world. We're living in it today. Drunkenness is called a disease instead of what it is. Any values you have now need to be clarified to make sure they're politically correct. And if they're politically correct, they're usually biblically incorrect. And that's how that works. We are living in the last day. There's no question about it. Last times, the Bible tells us that some shall depart from the faith. The last times will be perilous times. We are beginning to see that. We're seeing people that despise God, despise the Word of God, despise the people of God. It's amazing seeing what's going on. It is a time when it's going to cost you something to be a real Christian, to be one that stands for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will suffer persecution for your beliefs. They look at you crazy. They think you don't understand. There was an article on the news there. I go on Fox News website. I think it was New Hampshire or New Jersey somewhere, where they had a Satanist transsexual elected to run as the Republican candidate for sheriff of the county. The highest place you can have in a constitutional position to protect people is the county sheriff. That is they're not appointed by the town, they're not appointed by the governor, they are elected by the people to protect you, and they put this transsexual Satanist on the ballot for the GOP. Isn't that something? New Hampshire. And it ran because they wanted to prove that the system was corrupt and the voters didn't know who they were voting for or what they were doing. And now stands there as the candidate and basically thumbs his nose at all those people that voted for him because you didn't even know you were voting for a Satanist. You didn't even know you were voting for a man that thinks it's a woman. You didn't. Just throwing it in their face. Are we in a sick and twisted world? Yes. The Bible says we're living in the times of Noah and Lot. Well, Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, did he not? Lot was witnessing things that, man, would make him turn his eyes away. He knew it was so bad that when the angels of God came into town, he said, look, you guys can't stay in the street. You got to come into my house. I can't leave you men out there. And he was urgent and pressed upon him. And you say, why? Because he knew what he lived in. He knew what he lived among. It's a bad, bad time. I want to encourage you, though, here tonight to be strong and be of a good courage. Because the Lord whom we serve is able to deliver you through all of this stuff that you're seeing today. He hasn't lost any of his power. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. There's no one that can go against him if he decides to go a certain way or stop him or turn him. And he will help you get through these trials and times. Now, I want to look at some types here in this passage. And sometimes you get the best stuff out of the types when you look at it. We've got what? We've got a sea. It's a tempestuous sea. It's a stormy sea. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of life. Going through life. It's like going through one big storm. You get some clearings every now and then and sunny days, but boy, the next little wave's going to hit sooner or later. The boat. You look at the boat here. You know what it is? It is the standard means of travel. It is a vessel. It's to get you from one point to the other. And you know what that's a picture of? That is a picture of you trying to get from where you're going to someplace else. And the idea is that thing being there, a vessel. What is the wind and the waves? They are the opposition to your progress. You getting to where you need to be. And the disciples here were getting nowhere. They were trying to obey the Lord's command. Did the Lord not tell them, look, I'm going to send the multitudes away. You guys get in a boat. You go on over on the other side, and I'll be there shortly, basically. And he says, go. And so they pile into the boat, and they start out. But it says that he went up into a mountain to pray. And it says, and when even was come. So now it's dark. Now he's up there praying. It talks about the fourth watch of the night. In the Bible, you've got 12 hours in the day, and you've got 12 hours in the night. You divide that by four, and there's a three-hour watch. So somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning is the fourth watch of the night. It is that last section. And so these disciples have been out there for hours. And they are trying to get across that lake. They're trying to get across to the other side of that sea. And what are they getting? They're getting nowhere. They are hindered by the wind and the sea. They're trying to obey the Lord's will. They are out there in all the turmoil of the tempest. And then all of a sudden they look up and they see Jesus walking on the water coming to them. Now he's not hindered by the sea. He's not worried about the waves. He's not the wind, just a little fresh breeze in his face. And here he comes walking across the water. Now, can you imagine what they must have felt? Here they are. They're probably rowing for all their worth, going straight into a headwind. They're getting nowhere. They can't put the sail up because if they do, it's going to blow them in the wrong direction. And they're probably got water coming into the boat and things are going bad. And they're probably thinking, man, all we're trying to do is the will of God. And look what's happening here. I don't understand this. What is that? Oh, it's got to be a spirit. They didn't know at first. I mean, here comes the Lord just, oh, look at that fish. Oh, those birds can't even take this wind, can they? And he's just strolling along, walking on the water. And it's an interesting passage, isn't it, when you think about it. And they're working, and the Lord's just strolling along. And I look at this thing, and I think, you know, there's only one person in this whole group that got the opportunity to walk on the water. And that was none other than Peter. Peter gets a chance to walk on the water. I don't know about you, but I think that would be just really exceptional to be able to get out there and do that. That'd be the talk of a lifetime, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah, I remember the day when I walked on the water with Jesus. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's going to point out, but you sank. But I still walked on the water with him. You didn't. So let's look at this thing. First of all, in verse number 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. The first thing we see is that Peter has a desire to walk on the water. He wanted to go out of the boat. He wanted to be beside the Lord. He wanted to know what it would be like to be able to just stand and stroll across a stormy sea and not even have to worry about the winds buffeting him. He had a desire. He was tired of struggling. He was looking for a better way. He volunteered. Lord, if it's me, bid me come. Well, there were other guys in the boat. He had a desire to go. And you know, it's interesting. God is still looking for volunteers. He's been looking for volunteers for a long, long time. He wanted Adam to voluntarily obey him. He wanted Noah to build an ark when it seemed absolutely pointless to build it in the middle of the land that he lived in. He wanted Abraham to go without telling him where he was going. He wanted Isaiah to preach. He said, who shall I go? Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And you know, Isaiah just stands up and said, here am I, send me. And the Lord said, I got a volunteer. Look at that. And the Lord wants us to be willing to go. We don't have to let things get us down. We don't have to quit. We don't have to give up. We could simply volunteer for a little alternative means of travel. We can say, you know what, instead of fighting all the way and struggling all the way, I think I'm going to take the easier route. We just have to volunteer. He was looking for volunteers in the Old Testament, where he said over in Ezekiel, he said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You say, well, he didn't find a single man out there. There must have been men out there. Yeah, but you know what he's looking for? A volunteer. A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, Why not you? Amen. And he's still looking. He's still looking. Do you ever think about it? The Lord's looking today. Paul was looking. He said, I have no man that'll naturally care for your estate, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. They're all after their own stuff, my happiness, my home, my job, my this, my that. What about me? What about me? That's the society we live in today. I don't know. I'm not a social media buff. My wife will tell you, I don't have a Facebook account. And you say, why? Because I don't want everybody in the whole world knowing what I'm doing. Amen. I don't want them to know what I own. I don't want to know what I look like even. You know, why do I want to put that out there for the whole world? And yet we've got people that go out there and they'll put their sinfulness on there. They'll put their worldliness on there. And then they're claiming to be Christians. And you look and you go, well, what are you doing with this person or that? And what's going on here? And it's out there for the whole world to see. You don't get any of it back either. Go try and retrieve something you put out there. How many people downloaded the picture? How many people have that? How many people know what your possessions are? You got to be real careful about that kind of stuff. And people are out there, it's all about me, my face, my book, my Twitter, my this, my that. Look at me, look at me. Here's a selfie. Here's another selfie. Here's another selfie. Here's another. But you know, there was a time when people didn't want to have their pictures taken. Now it's, here I am. Having a cup of coffee. Here I am over here. Here I am looting a store. Here I am beating up an old woman with a thing. Here I am. And they're taking pictures of everything. You know, wow. Crazy world we live in. And you know what the Lord's looking for? He's looking for somebody to rise above all that. Somebody to walk a different path. You see, the majority are not going to seek to walk with the Lord. Majority kind of comfortable in the group. And you think about this thing, Peter volunteered, he had a desire in his heart, but also, look in verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, isn't that something? I want you to see not only his desire, but his daring. The Lord loves a daredevil. Somebody that'll attempt something for him. Somebody that'll go out and get the job done. The Lord says, here he says, all right, Peter, come on. Well, what does that mean for Peter? That means this guy that's been a fisherman all his life who knows that if he steps out of that boat, he's going down. It means he's going to have to put some extreme amount of faith in Jesus Christ's ability to allow him to walk on the water. Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you know what the Lord will sometimes do in your life? He'll say, look, you want to know a better way? You want to walk with me? You want to get close to me? You need to step out of the boat. And that's why Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, the Lord said, come on, Peter. And Peter dared to get out of the boat. That first step was a step of faith. He had to trust the Lord completely. He left the security of the boat. He's in this thing all night fighting a storm. And he's not alone. It's a large enough boat. It's going to handle at least 13 people. Pretty good sized boat. They're in it. And the others are back there. And they're probably looking at Peter going, he's not really going to do this, is he? That Peter, man, he's a sucker for everything, isn't he? And then Peter steps out of that boat. He dared to trust the Lord. If it be thou bidst me come, Lord. And Jesus said, come. Well, what did Peter have to do? He had to dare to step out of that boat. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know. Did he tentatively get out and put his foot down? Or did he just walk out there, just step out there? I don't know. All I know is he took the step. He left the security. You know what's going to happen in your life, Christian? Is one of these days the Lord is going to say, you, come. I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to leave those others back there. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord that night he was going to be betrayed, he went into the garden and you know what he said? He told the disciples to wait here. And then he took with him Peter, James, and John and went a little further. Do you know who walked up to the mountain of transfiguration and began to see the glorified Jesus Christ? Who got to see all that? Peter, James, and John. When he went and raised the centurion's daughter, when he went and did some of the other miracles and things that he did, there was a certain group that got to go, but the rest had to stay back. Were they his disciples? Yes, they were his disciples. But were they in that inner circle? Were they close enough to walk with Jesus when he was doing something spectacular? No, they weren't. Why not? Did Jesus exclude them? Or did they exclude themselves? What if, Thomas or Judas or one of the others in the boat said, Lord, me too. Do you think Jesus would have said, no, not you? He just said, come. Come. But they didn't say it. They didn't have the desire. But Peter not only had the desire, he had the daring. You don't walk on the water till you get out of the boat. Got to take the step, got to go. It's amazing what God will do to try to get people to leave the security of a whole hum life and to completely commit their safekeeping to him. It's amazing. I'm secure here. Yeah, but you're not where you could be. The Lord's over there and the Lord's, you know, hey, said, you want to walk with me? I'm walking on the water. You want to walk with me? I'm walking above the strife. I'm walking above the struggles. I'm just strolling all along here. You guys have been struggling all night. Look, I caught up with you already. And I'm going to pass you, and I'm going to keep on going. Lord, if that's you, would you bid me come? Come on. Come with me. Let's go. And he had the daring to step out of the boat. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Go ahead. Step out. Take that first step. You know, you look at this thing, Peter wasn't trusting himself at all. Because if Peter would have looked at himself, he would have said, man, I can't do this. The Lord can do it, though. I know he can. I believe in him so firmly that if he says, come, I'm stepping out of that boat and walking right over there. And he did. He walked on the water. And you notice here in verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, what does it say? He walked on the water. Amazing. The Lord kept his promise to come. Peter dared to get out of the boat. He walked on the water. Great thing. But notice his downfall. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, you know what he did? For a moment, he quit trusting Jesus. He took his eyes off the Lord. When he was looking at the Lord, and the Lord said, come, man, Peter just stepped out of that boat. He had his eyes focused on Jesus. He's walking. Now, did he not know that he was in a storm? Sure he did. Been fighting that storm all night. The wind, the waves, all of it. Been rowing and working hard, trying to beat it. Couldn't beat it. Jesus says, come. He's walking to the Lord. And then he remembers, I can't really do this. That's right, Peter, you couldn't do it, and you knew you couldn't do it when you were in the boat. You weren't trusting you then. But he began to look, and he sees the wind, and he sees the waves, and he goes, I can't do this. And it says, beginning to sink. He's starting to go down. And you say, why was he going down? He quit trusting the Lord. You know what he started doing? He started leaning on his own understanding. I'm not able to walk on the water. Look where I am, the wind, the waves. And it starts to go down. You know what happens? You and I sometimes, we get our eyes down here, and we look over here, and we're looking over there, and we're thinking about those back in the boat, you know. At least they're not going to sink like me. And we start getting worried, and then we take our eyes off the Lord, and we quit trusting him like we should. And we go, well, the majority, but they're all back there in the boat. And I'm stuck in between here and there. But why? Why didn't he just keep going? What do you think it would have been if he'd have taken those next few steps, just stayed faithful and walked right up to the Lord? You think he'd have sunk then? No. They probably would have walked back together and got in the boat. But Peter didn't keep his eyes on the Lord. And you know where you and I fail? When we take our eyes off of him and we start looking at our own inabilities, we will fall every time. When you think about it, you and I know we can't do what needs to be done. We fear failure all the time, don't we? You know what you got to do? You got to get to that place where you just trust him, you consider him, you constantly keep your focus looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You keep him in your focus, you keep him in your heart, you keep him number one, and you'll be okay. You know, none of us is able to succeed on our own. Can't do it. You're gonna teach Sunday school, you're gonna need the Lord. Yeah, you can have a natural ability, but that natural ability will let you down sooner or later. The Lord will never let you down. You're going to be a musician. You're going to be singing a special. You're going to do something like that. You got to quit trusting you and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and quit doing it for your recognition and do it for his honor and glory. And everything changes. The whole perspective of it changes. It's not, oh, look at me. You're going to be a soul winner. You need to go in his power, his strength. Well, you go for him. You don't go for you. He'll take care of it. Street preaching's that way. I remember the first time I was invited to go street preaching. I was in Bible school, and these guys were going. They'd go out on Saturdays, and they'd go on certain nights of the week. And I'm working with these guys, and they're talking, man, you need to go solo. You need to go street preaching with us. You need to go street preaching with us. And I got to tell you, I was a little, you know, nervous about that street preaching stuff. Me go out there in front of everybody? And so finally I said, well, when are you guys going? Oh, well, we're going to meet down in Milton, Florida. We're going to be down there, be at this place at such and such a time. And I said, okay, I'll be there. So I went. And I parked in front of the little store that they told me to park in front of, which was closed at that time in the evening. And I watched the clock, and I waited, and I looked, and nobody showed up. And so I, you know, typical strong Christian that I was, said, well, I guess I'm going to go home. And the Lord convicted my heart. He said, are you there? Are you here tonight for them or for me? Ouch. But, Lord, I've never walked on the water before. Well, just go and hand out some tracts. So I thought, okay, I can do that. So I walked out on this little island, and, you know, there's a turning lane for the left, and the light's right here, and people pull up, and then, you know, they wait for the light. And so I had some tracts, and so I would just go and say, can I give you a track tonight? You know, and I'd go to the next car, and I'd offer them a track, and I'd go to the next car and offer them a track. Well, I did this for about two lights, and then this guy pulled up. And I went over and you know, said, hey, can I give you a gospel track tonight? I don't know what you think you're doing out here, pushing your religion down everybody's throat. Well, you people are nutcases, blah, blah, blah. And he starts to drive away. And I said, the Bible says. And the next thing I knew, I was street preaching. And man, when I opened up and I started to preach and I started going and I did it all by myself. No, I didn't. I wouldn't have got out of the car. I was going to go back to the house and tell my wife, nobody showed up. And the Lord said, come. Come on out here with me, and we'll take care of this. And you know what I found? I liked being there with the Lord, out there in public, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that they're not going to come to church and hear it. They're not going to turn on the so-called Christian radio station and hear it. They're the kind that you hand the gospel tract to, and they throw them on the ground. I don't want this stuff. But boy, they got no choice when they go by, and you're going, and Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? They can't get away from that. I worked at a place down in Pensacola. Well, it's actually Fort Walton is where I was working. And I had one of my foremen come up to me one day, and he come into the room I was working in, the apartment, and he said, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. And he said, you're not one of those street screamers, are you? And I said, you mean a street preacher? And he said, yeah. And I said, I am. He goes, well, what do you think you accomplished by that? And I said, this right here. And he went, what? And I said, whatever you heard has been bugging you enough where you had to seek somebody out and ask them about it. I said, do you know what you heard? Well, no, I couldn't make it out. I said, it doesn't really matter, does it? The message of God was being proclaimed. You happened to drive by, and somehow that message got in here, and it's been bugging you ever since, and now you've come to me to ask why we do it, and I'm going to tell you. And I gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ that day, and he took a track, and he said, oh, and walked out the door. And I had to go all the way back, and you say, well, why did that happen? Because one day the Lord said, come. Come. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the boat. Come. Come. And I dared go. You know when the downfall comes? When you start trusting you. Because you aren't going to make it. You're going to sink. You know what Peter did? He began to take his eyes off the Lord. He began to look at his surroundings. He began to look at all the obstacles and go, I can't do this. I can't do this. And if you get your eyes focused on all that, you won't do any of it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He begins to sink. You know what it was? He's thinking of all the reasons why he couldn't. And that's what keeps people from even trying to do something for the Lord. Well, I'm not good at this, and I can't do that, and I don't have the, and I just, and I can't sing, and I can't, and it's like, quit thinking that way. If the Lord said, make a joyful noise, then open your mouth and let it rip. Sing those songs to the top of your lungs. What do you care if people don't like whether you're on tune or not? Are you singing for them and self-recognition, or are you singing for the Lord? What are you doing? We have to get our focus and our eyes on Him. And what we do is for Him, His honor and glory. You know what? Soon he began to fall. And Peter's on his way down. And you know, he finally realized on the way down his mistake. And he's going to cry out. And you know what you find? The Bible tells us that a just man falleth 7 times. And riseth up again. The wicked shall fall into condemnation. The wicked's going to fall. He's going to be gone. But the righteous man, he's going to fall down. You know what's going to happen, Christian? You're going to stumble and fall. It's going to happen. What do? Get back up. You rise up again. You fall, you rise up again. You fall, you rise up again. You don't stay down. You don't dwell on your mistakes. You don't dwell. What if Peter just said, I'm going down? But he remembered who was holding him up. And so he's going to cry out to the Lord. In Psalm 37 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in him. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Notice what happens here in verse 30 when it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." He didn't cry out to John. He didn't cry out to James. He didn't cry out to Thomas. He didn't cry out to the guys in the boat. He said, "Lord, save me." And isn't it something? We see his deliverance here in verse 31. "And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Little faith? He got out of the boat. The rest of the guys are thinking Peter's a giant of the faith. Look what he just did. Amazing. How could he possibly think he could walk in the water? He's walking on the water. Look at Peter. And then Peter going down. Peter going down. Lord, save me. And you know what I like about this? It said immediately. Immediately, Jesus caught him by the hand. Now, isn't that something? He must have been that close when he began to doubt. Lord's right there. Lord's right there to lift you up, put you back on your feet again. But you know what we don't do? We don't cry out. We don't ask. We don't seek. Immediate results. You know what you see here? Short prayers are long enough. He didn't get into a big dissertation here. Lord, save me! There was a missionary couple that were going to Greece. They were out on deputation. And they were driving through a strange town, and they had to cross a set of railroad tracks, and like most people, they trusted that the guard rails were and the lights were working and everything was fine, but they weren't. And they started to cross these railroad tracks, and here's the train right there. And it hit the front of their car. And the wife later said, "We didn't have time to pray." She said, "I just yelled out, Lord, us!" And miraculously, they were not hurt. The car was ruined, but it didn't get caught by the train and dragged down the tracks. It just pushed it off to the side, and they were safe. Short prayers are long enough. Immediate results. The Lord took care of it right then. You know, the Lord doesn't want you to fail. You know that? He doesn't want you to fall. He doesn't want you to sink. And he certainly doesn't want you to stay down. So when you run into a problem, remember who it is that enables you, who it is that empowers you, who it is that's going to come to your rescue when you need him. Remember who it is and keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing when you look at all of this. We have to have the desire, first of all. But when you express to the Lord that desire, be ready, for he's liable to give you the command to come. Peter, that if it be thou bidst me come, Lord, I'm willing to come, but you just give me the call. And the Lord said, come. And then Peter had to have the daring to step out and go. Like a missionary on a foreign field or going to a call, the Lord says, all right, I want you to go and go out on deputation, but I don't have any money. Go out on deputation, but I don't have any support. Go out on deputation, but I'm not a good speaker. Go out on deputation. And they go out. They just say, yeah, Lord, I'll go. I'll trust you. I remember my dad and mom when they were going on deputation. For the first time, he quit his job at Eastman Kodak Company. He surrendered to go to the mission field in the Northwest Territories to the Eskimo people. Eventually, that became Fairbanks, Point Lay, Alaska. He went up there and served up there. But he said they finally quit. They got everything. They got in the van, they towed a trailer, and off they went. They got to their first meeting. It was in Ohio, I believe it was. And they pulled in the church parking lot. They got there early. And my mom asked him, she said, why don't we go get something to eat? And my dad said, I've only got $8. And she said, you brought us all the way here and you only have $8. And my dad said, if the Lord can't take care of us in Ohio, then we're in trouble going anywhere else. He's called us to go to the Northwest Territories. If he can't take care of us here, then what's going to happen when we get there? It'll be all right. And you know what? They went on deputation. They got their eat. They got to stay and go from place to place. And he got to a point one time where he told me, he said, whenever I get a big offering from a church, I immediately wonder what's going to happen because the Lord has given me money I'm going to need for something. And a lot of times the vehicle would break down or something would happen shortly after that. But the Lord kept taking care of him. And you say, why did God do that? Well, you know what deputation is? It's a trial run for when they get to the field. Because they go to some foreign country. They go to some culture that's different than theirs. They are strangers. They are there. They don't have friends. They don't have family there. They're all by themselves. It's them and the Lord. And they have to trust the Lord day by day by day for their care and their protection. And that's walking on the water. That's where the Lord is taking care of you. He's upholding you. He's giving you everything you need to walk with Him and accomplish the things that He's asked you to do. And you just have to have the daring to trust Him, to go. Well, I don't have enough money to go. I've only got $8 left. We're in Ohio. Where do we go? Lord will take care of it. Lord will take care of it. And I could tell you story after story. My wife could tell you, we could tell you stories of how God took care of us, continues to take care of us, provides when you least expect it or when you need it the most. What a good and gracious God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to walk on the water. I'd like to go to Jesus, walk with Him. I'd like to get above all the trials and the stress and the strife of life. Just not worry about it. Let's just take a stroll through the storm. But we're going to do it close to Jesus Christ. Father, we ask Your blessing upon this time. Thank You for these that have come tonight. I hope it's a help, Father, to them. You are wonderful, Lord. There's no question about it. You're all powerful. The winds and the sea obey You. Father, there's not a trial, there's not a problem, there's not an issue that we could have that You can't handle. We just need to be walking with You. Help us tonight to realize that. Help us to be willing, Father. Have a desire, but not just a desire, the dare to get out and to go, the daring, the courage, the trust, the faith that it takes. God, help us. We want to please You. Want to be faithful. Lord, just help us. In Jesus' name, amen.